St. Paul, in addressing the Corinthians, says that he can't talk to them as spiritual people because they're still so natural, their natural condition or fleshly condition. So he has to treat them like infants and give them milk rather than solid food. Now that might sound a little bit insulting, and maybe it was, but it also shows something to us that there are different levels of nourishment that the Word of God gives us. There's nothing wrong with milk. I mean, milk is a nutritious food and it's good for babies, but it's not solid food. If you take a small child to a big banquet, wedding banquet or a fancy meal, you don't give that child all the different foods that are available, partly because he won't like them anyway, but partly because certain foods are not good for little children, especially very young. But it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the banquet. So we are in varying stages of spiritual development. We could all be infants as far as we know. And we're not very good at knowing what sort of food we should be eating. Like children, we just like sweet food or tasty food, not necessarily nutritious food. So how do we get past this problem of eating the wrong foods or not eating the right foods when it comes to our spiritual life? This is where the liturgy comes in. Anybody following the liturgical life knows that we're not simply choosing the readings that we like or dwelling on the topics that we like. We take what our mother has chosen for us. Mother Church has chosen these readings for us to eat today. This is the nutritious food to eat today. Whether we find it palatable or not isn't the question. This is the food that is good for us to eat. So, for example, Sunday, the theme was clearly on humility. Well, some people might find that very easy to eat. Others might find that really difficult to eat, swallow, digest. The idea of sitting in the lowest place, or the idea of inviting to one's parties the poor and the lame and the crippled. Well, maybe that is not that easy to swallow. Well, you take what your mother feeds you, because your mother knows what you need, Mother Church. That's just a thought from first reading. Now let's take a moment to reflect on some of the food of today's gospel. Again, we're in the early part of Luke's gospel, so the early part of Jesus' public ministry. And here he, after in yesterday's reading, driving a demon out of a man in the synagogue, he goes from the synagogue to the house of Simon. There, Simon's mother-in-law has a fever, a severe fever, and he cures her. You might notice the language that's used in Luke's gospel. Yesterday, when he drove out the demon, he rebuked the demon. In today's gospel, when he cured Simon's mother-in-law, he rebuked the fever. And then later in the reading here, when the demons are shouting out that he's the Son of God, he rebukes them. So there's a lot of rebuking going on in the beginning of Luke's gospel. What does that tell us? That Jesus is taking charge. He's telling evil spirits and sicknesses that he's got authority over them. Putting them in their place, you could say, rebuking them, putting them back in order. We could also see that in the mindset of the people of the time, diseases were caused by evil spirits. So to rebuke a fever meant to rebuke the evil spirit that was causing that symptom. And when he cures so many people after sunset, he cures many of them, and demons came out from many, as if to say the reason why they were sick is because they were afflicted by evil spirits. That's not the way we think now. Typically, we think of the physical conditions or physical illnesses and their symptoms as one thing, and spiritual illnesses and spiritual afflictions as another thing. If you can find the virus, or you can find the bacteria, you can find the cause of the infection or the inflammation, well, then you can treat it because it's a physical condition. If somebody's got spiritual problems, well, you send them to the exorcist or the prayer warriors. Now, that's, we have the opposite extreme. Maybe the extreme in the ancient times was that illnesses were caused by evil spirits. They didn't know about bacteria. In modern times, we go to the other extreme and say, well, there's no connection between body and soul, between the physical condition and the spiritual condition. That's too far also. And any honest doctor knows that we don't really know all the factors that make up illness. And sometimes people get sick for seemingly no reason. And sometimes people get well for unexplainable reasons. And there's a much closer interaction of spiritual and physical realities than the scientific world is willing to admit. Anyway, that's part of what's going on here. Jesus is the authority over diseases, over evil spirits, over the word. He comes in as a Lord, as the Lord. Now let's go back to this question about what we need in order to be fed or nourished, because there's special attention on Simon here. In Luke's gospel, this is the first mention of Simon, or Simon Peter. Jesus just walks into his house. You say, what happened? Why did he just walk into his house? In tomorrow's gospel, he's going to get into his boat. So the way Luke presents the story, what Simon needed first was to witness the cure of his mother-in-law. He needed to see a sign of Jesus' power, and then he'll see it again, another big sign of power in tomorrow's gospel with the miraculous catch of fish. In Matthew and Mark, Simon's first encounter with Jesus is when Simon and his brother Andrew are fishing. They're in the boat, and Jesus comes along and calls them, "Come follow me." So according to that experience, the first thing that they need, the first thing that Simon needs, is to experience being called. And then in John's gospel, the first encounter that Simon has with Jesus is when Andrew discovers that Jesus is the Messiah, and Andrew goes to his brother and says, "Hey, Peter, we found the Messiah. It's Jesus." So three different versions of how Simon comes to know the Lord. Three different possibilities of what sort of food we might need first. And this is what only God could figure out. Sometimes we need a sign. We need something to catch our attention, like a miraculous cure. And that's sometimes what God gives people to move them to listen more deeply. Sometimes we need a call, an experience of God calling us, God intervening. We're doing our normal daily life, like fishing, our work, our routine, and God breaks in and says, "Follow me. Don't devote yourself to that stuff. Follow me. Do something different." And sometimes a friend or a relative or a preacher or someone will say, look what I have found. Look at what I have discovered. Come and see what I see." There are three different experiences, but they're all valid. So I think these comparisons of the Gospels can help us. And what it's not up to us to determine how God is going to reveal himself or what sort of food we think we need. It's up to God. If we want to be fed, we have to open our minds, our hearts, our ears, and receive what God gives us, whether he gives it to us in a sign, whether he gives it to us in a dramatic call, whether he gives it to us intervening in our circumstances, or whether he gives it to us through other people. It's all fine, as long as we're willing to listen and respond. One last thought about this story about Simon's mother-in-law. The people in the household told Jesus about her condition. It says they interceded with him about her. It shows the intercessory role that we all have when people are sick or when they have any need. Of course, God knows that they're sick. God knows everything. But he wants us to take this intermediary role. He wants us to have to participate in his healing work. And that's what we do when we pray for healing. We should pray for healing. We should be praying for the sick every day. And we do. But we should understand that's not that we're informing God about people's illnesses. He knows very well everyone's condition. But he also is inviting us to be part of their healing. So let's humble ourselves and take that role. Again, it's not taking charge of God. It's letting God take charge. It's letting God take authority over our lives and over the world, over our illnesses, our physical conditions, over our spiritual condition, so that we can participate in his kingdom.